are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Brighton, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you, my brother, Derek?
No, doing quite all right. Doing quite all right. Thank you so much. Trusting you're also doing all right.
Hey, it's hectic, but God is faithful, man.
Eish, yeah, these days, man. Hey. Every day is like worse than the previous one, right?
Yes.
When you think, no, I've done all my prep work, and no. You just touch just a tip of the iceberg.
Exactly. There's no rest, you know. There's no rest for the weekend.
Yeah, no, Christ must come. This can't be healthy, these kind of paces we're traveling at in this day and age.
Man, you can say that again.
Mfundisi, thank you so much for joining us as we go into a Thursday edition of our Look in the Bible Corner. We are looking at the sum of choices. That's what life is, right? Mm. The sum of our choices. And we've been talking at length, actually, about the power of choice this whole week and the privilege that God gives us to exercise the measure and control over our own lives and destiny. But Mfundisi, today we want to look at how does giving my life over to God affect my power of choice? You know, what does it mean to surrender one's life to God? And isn't that the antithesis of free choice? I mean, we were talking, emphasizing this whole week, yes, you have freedom, you can do as you please. Oh yeah, by the way, you must surrender everything, even your willpower, to God. Like, okay. Mm. Help us understand it for this.
Oh yeah, you know, I like the word surrender there, you know. It's like we are surrendering from somewhere, you know. are surrendering our lives to God from somewhere.
Okay.
From where? It's the first question that we should ask ourselves, you know. It's like we have tried and we have seen that there is no life here. We are now surrendering to God. Mm-hmm. So it's a choice that we will be making, that we have to make again. It's a decision that we have to make to give our lives to God. So surrendering to God, it's not taking away our choice. It's not taking away that power. It's actually giving us more power and more control, because we are giving God our lives, you know, and he is the one who gave us this life in the first place, you know, and he is the one who says in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death.
And death.
I set before you obedience and rebellion. Choose. Mm. I choose you today. And when we surrender our lives to God, we are choosing life, number one. Number two, the aspect of surrendering, it's the same notion that Paul alludes to in Romans 1 verse 1, when he says, I, Paul, the slave of Jesus Christ, the doulos, or the servant of Christ, he's now saying, my desire, my will, I'm surrendering. Now Christ is my master. I am a servant. So he's the one who dictates and I follow. It's a choice. It's a decision that we make to be under Christ, or we remain where we are, which is under who?
Under Satan.
Yeah, darkness. Yep.
It's quite a fascinating one, Mfundisi, that concept to say the best way to exercise your choice, to exercise your willpower, is to give it up. Like, and I think the Bible and Christ fill this discussion with this almost a paradoxical approach, right? Where you hear Christ as well in many places says, he who will want to hold on to his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay. And here again, you're now saying, he's saying to us, if you want to exercise your best power of choice, give up the power of choice to Christ. I think I always repeat this item, George Matheson in his song, right? He says, make me a servant, Lord, and then I will be free. Make me a captive. I want to be captured by you. And then I can be free. And I always find it fascinating. Yeah. And I think that's the part where sometimes listeners and those who are seekers trying to come to Christ find it challenging. I mean, Mfundisi, you're a Seventh-day Adventist, and I think in your career, in your walk with Jesus, your journey with Christ as an Adventist, you might have faced someone who says, hey, Adventism, I won't manage me. Now, the rules are just too much. And you, being the one who exercises, like, wait a minute, this is like the most freedom I can ever be. I can do as I please. And I'm safe in this boundary of what God has given me, this parameter. How can we manage that, Mfundisi, to say, actually, to someone who is not understanding it, this is the best way to exercise your choice to give it up to Jehovah?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, we have to be frank with ourselves in terms of choices. By the way, surrendering our lives to Christ is the most foolish choice that we can make in the understanding, in the natural understanding, or in the understanding of the world today. That's the most foolish thing that we can make.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, and Christ alluded to, you know, gave us an illustration of a seed. For a seed to grow, it has to rot, it has to die, you know, and then something comes up. So that's the most foolishest thing when we are thinking like the world, you know, to die in order to have. So I want to say this, Derek.
Okay.
When you hear people saying, I can't do this, I can't give up my life, I can't, you know, what they are simply saying is they can't die, you know, in order to have this life, you know. And 1 Corinthians, actually, chapter 2, it should be verse 18 and 14, which says, spiritual things can only be discerned by those who choose spiritual.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, so when we're giving up our lives, It's like you're surrendering your choice. It's like you're surrendering everything. But no, you know, it's not even like that.
yeah, that is powerful. I like that. And then, like you're saying, it's foolishness to the world, but to them who are living, this actually is the recipe for life. Pastor, does God change my desires? I mean, we are always encouraged to receive the Holy Spirit, right? We always say it becomes easier when He is the one living in you. Christ, Paul saying Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ. Is God changing my desires, my choices, my ability to make choices, when I have the Holy Spirit, how does he make it easier to do the right things, and does it diminish then my power of choice? That I mean, we sing the song, right? When one is baptized, the things I used to do, I do them. No, is that what's happening? I don't have power to. I want to choose cigarettes, and as I choose cigarettes, how I'm ending up taking a glass of water.
This is fascinating. You know, this is deep. What you're talking about is more—it's more than philosophy. You know, these are deep theological issues. You see, when I want to give this, I hope I'll be very simple here. Mm-hmm. When the Holy Spirit takes over your life, or you know, it's not taking over your ability to choose.
Okay.
That's a God-given thing. That is what makes us human beings. So whenever choice is taken away from you, it's no longer you living. It's no longer, you are no longer a human being, you know? Yes. So when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's different when evil spirit possesses you. These are two different things. Two different things happen. When the Holy Spirit comes in your life, it guides, it leads. It actually, you know, it has got compassion. You know, we hear of the Holy Spirit crying, being grieved by our doings. It doesn't force us. It doesn't make us robots. It's different when you are possessed by an evil spirit. The evil spirit wants to take over and destroy. You know, it wants to control. You know, unlike the Holy Spirit does not control us. It leads us. It guides us. So our choice is still there when the Holy Spirit is in us. What just happened is that our desire, we'll be fighting between the desires of God and our own fleshly desire. That's the battle that we'll be having. But we are guaranteed, you know, that we are being led by the Holy Spirit. Unlike when you are possessed by an evil spirit, it doesn't give you time to think. It thinks for you. It doesn't give you an opportunity to choose. It chooses.
Yeah, you are possessed, basically.
Possession. Yeah, you are possessed. You are no. It's no longer you.
Mfundisi, will I be right if I'm hearing you well, especially what we've been talking about the past couple of days, especially that emphasis you've always been reminding of us and taking us back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 of choosing life? Will I be then hearing you well if I'm to say, the Holy Spirit then doesn't choose for us, like you're saying, but he makes our mind clearer and gives us a platform where we can then be able to, in our right senses, choose life, because that's where the good thing for us is, right? He helps us be able to be for ourselves better. Like when we are clouded with sin and selfish desires, we think we want good things, Kanti. We are actually killing ourselves. I mean, we do this when we are craving things that are not good for us, junk food and things that are harmful to our bodies. But we think we are living, but Kanti, no, actually the intake of these things is shortening our lifespan. Am I right in thinking that the Holy Spirit then gives me a platform where I can say, okay, here are choices before me, life and death. Actually, now I can see clearly I want life, and then I'm able to choose life. Is that what he does for us? Gives us the capacity to be able to do the right thing?
You know, you have just said it well. You took all the words from my mouth. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does, man. You know, it goes before us, you know. It paves way for us, you know, to show us now, to say, you know, this is the thing. If you choose this, these are the results. If you choose this, these are the results.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the blessing of having the Holy Spirit leading our lives. You know, it gives us that ability to choose, and we can see things clearer, you know. And like when we live our lives in darkness, you know, when we choose darkness, there is no choice in darkness. You know, there is you can't see anything there. You know, you just fumble on anything. Yeah.
Pastor, it's fascinating that you then mentioned this idea of saying we can see the consequences. And maybe help us just touch on that one quickly, to say, we're always told to be able to reason from cause to effect. So when you're about to do something, understand what the consequences of these things are. How far ahead can we be able to tell the results and the issues of our choices? And Mfundisi, how far ahead can we do that?
That's powerful, man. You know, as I've said, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, is our teacher, to guide us and to lead us, you know. So, you know, being a teacher, indeed, we are taught to reason from cause to effect.
Yeah.
When we are in the Spirit, we can see properly our end. You know, when we decide to walk with God, our end is very clear in us. Even the influence that we have towards others is very clear, you know. And unlike when we live our lives outside God, you know, we live our lives, you know, in darkness, we tend to make suicidal decisions, you know, decisions that we think can end here. We are so short-sighted. We can't see the repercussions of our actions, and we don't even care of how much damage we are doing. But you know, one thing that I like about human being having our choice is we choose the things that we can see that will affect us. When you choose to drink alcohol, you know the effect. You know you know what you are trying to do there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true. And sometimes that's what we were saying earlier on, right? When the presence of sin is there, you don't really see what you're doing and what the impact is. I mean, I don't think if anyone understood the weight of drinking and driving and how they could end lives and maim families, they would do it. But because of sin and the cloud that then comes over by this inability to discern, you find them, they don't mind. Can't even walk straight, but they don't mind going behind the wheel to drive. I hear you clearly. Pastor, influence. Let's talk influence. How do we influence our children? Maybe even say, let's teach, right? To make right choices. How can we pass on this ability to choose right to others, especially the younger generation?
Hey, you know, this is, you know, I'm afraid I may say it in a simple way, but it's very difficult in practice, you know. There's only one thing that we can do to influence our children to make right choices. That is to lead them to Christ. You know, it pains me that, you know, you see, Derek, how easy I've said it. But it's so difficult in practice, you know, leading our kids to Christ. If we to sit down and really analyze what is that, we realize that that's a lifetime achievement, or maybe it's something big to do. You know, when Christ says, let these young ones come to me, you know, let's lead or let's train up our children in the ways, you know, of God, so that when they grow up, when they are out of our hands, they will not depart from this way. When, you know, Let's catch them young. We want to see our kids when they are old, when they are 5 years old. But when they were creating attitudes, when the brain was being formed, we didn't care. You know, we were just busy engrossed in economic, political, and other things, you know. But the right time to deal with our children is when they are young. Unfortunately, you know, maybe let me say fortunately, God somehow gives us another opportunity, even in the lives of these young ones. They somehow fumble in darkness and they realize, hey, this is not a good path. Let's take advantage, you know, when our young ones come to us for advice. Let's take advantage and show them the right way in love, you know. Yeah.
Says one denomination, Mfundisi, give me a child in the first 7 years and they will never turn from what I've taught them, right? I think I love the way you're bringing it. And this generation, this microwave generation, Pastor, I think we are so accustomed to steps. We want to give, these are the five things you can do to teach your child. Here are the five steps to make your child be a better decision maker. And you're saying, no. It's not about steps and principles and easy guide. No. It's about training. Train up the child. And that's not a step thing. It's about giving principles, yes, but it's also about giving example. But by precept and by example, you must do this work. I think that's just profound. That's just profound. But you see, unfortunately, my time is out. I'm going to wrap up with this. We have a question here coming through from our WhatsApp line, and I've got a couple of them. I want to just summarize them, and maybe you can find a way in your pastorly manner to wrap them up together. The first one was speaking about the permanence of choice. To say when we choose, we've been talking about choosing life and so forth. When we choose and surrendering our life to God and all that, how permanent is this? Is this something that we can choose today and then unchoose tomorrow? Sorry to use the wrong word. Or is it something that even if we don't choose today, we still can choose tomorrow? Is it, it's been offered to me, you know, once in a lifetime deal, you know, or is this one that can actually needs renewing perhaps? And I think you kind of hinted it earlier on about how we need to die daily. That's the one part. Mm-hmm. The second part of the question says, this one is just a comment. They want to God. I hear you, God, you don't possess, but Mina, can I please have possession? I want you to possess me, God, so that I can choose better. and then this is the one that I wanted to touch on, Mfundisi, to say, when we talk grave choices, how can you, the listener brings the point of Eve here, to say, Eve, almost 6,000 plus years ago, made a choice. In fact, I would even want to rephrase the question. Apologies, my listener. But the scripture says Eve was deceived, right? It was Adam who chose. Mm-hmm. But the holy pair, nonetheless, made this choice that it was seeming like it just affects them. They were the only people in the world after all, right? Gandhi, the effects are being felt millennia, and the consequences are so dire. How do you know, Mfundisi, to say this on here, I need to pause and take more thought in what I'm doing? Or is that supposed to be every choice? We look at it from a life and death perspective.
Yeah, this is a very broad question. You know, it takes a whole course in school to study that. I did systematic theology and we took a whole semester studying about that same person.
I told but you, you're past anyway.
In a nutshell, anyway, you know, when Adam and Eve were being tested, their test was for posterity. You know, it was something new coming in their life. You know, they were being tested to keep sin outside or to bring it in their blood. And then it's transmitted, you know. Unlike us today, you know, our temptation is in bringing in the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know? Yeah. So for Adam and Eve, they were tested once and for all, just like the devil, you know? He was tempted once and he fell once and for all, you know? So for us now, there is a gift that God gave us. You know, after Adam and Eve sinned, God brought a plan of redemption. And now we are clinging to that plan that God brought, you know, for us to come back with him. So that's our temptation to go back to the basics. So we are being tempted to stay in sin or go to the basics. So now, you know, when we make choices, we can make choices that we can undo tomorrow, you know, but we don't know when when God will say enough is enough, you know.
And are we on the right side of the choice, right? Yeah.
So rather make the good choices today, you know, other than waiting for tomorrow. You know, for tomorrow is not guaranteed.
Yes, Pastor.
Today is our day. Yes.
I like that one because you can't choose death to then tonight. Life I'll see tomorrow.
yeah, exactly.
That's true. That's true.
Because waking up in the morning is a mystery on its own. We don't know who wakes us up, you know.
Yeah.
We don't wake up because there is noise. We just wake up. And that's a mystery on its own, on how we wake up.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a mystery on how we fall asleep, you know, and it's a mystery on how we wake up.
Yeah, may God help us. Mfundisi, thank you so much once again for going to town and explaining these comments, these principles, this wisdom and sharing it with us. I truly appreciate your time again today.
Thank you so much, my brother Derek. May God bless you, man. And the listeners, may God be with you and make right choices.
Amen. Amen. Mfundisi, have a good evening and until tomorrow.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.